you like to open with me the Bible to Luke chapter 23, that's in my Bible on the page 1262. I'll read quite a passage here. Luke chapter 23, starting with verse 33. And when they came to the place which is called Skull, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand, the other on the left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And parting out his garment, they cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them sneered, saying, He has saved others. Let him save himself, if this is the Christ, the chosen one of God. And the soldier also made game of him, coming up, offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And there was also an inscription written over him in Greek and Roman and Hebrew letters, This is the king of the Jews. Now one of the malefactors who has been hung spoke insultingly to him, saying, Art thou not the Christ? Save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost thou too not fear God, thou that art under the same judgment? And we indeed justly, for we receive that just recompense of what we have done. But this man has done nothing amiss. And he said to Jesus, Remember me, Lord, when thou comest in thy kingdom. And Jesus said to him, Verily I say to thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there came darkness over the whole land, until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple rent in the midst. And Jesus, having cried with a loud voice, said, Father, into thy hand I commit my spirit. And having said this, he expired. Now the centurion, seeing that what took place, glorified God, saying, In very deed this man was just. And all the crowds who had come together to that site, having seen the things that took place, returned, beating their breasts. And all those who knew him stood afar off. The woman also who had followed him from Galilee, behold these things. Amen. I read all this scripture because we know, and you know, that today it is a big celebration all over the world. And that's another reason the children are here. Yes, we celebrate Easter time, and we know that Easter comes from the Hebrew history, and has links from very, very long time ago. We don't have enough time. I don't want to steal the children's time, because they are so precious children. They are so wonderful, and I don't like to steal any time. But even though, as Adrian showed us a little bit of the slides, what is taking place, I was thinking to speak about Lord Jesus Christ and his last statement before he crucified. He spoke seven statements, knowing like the last seven words of Lord Jesus Christ before he was crucified. We have here in this scripture three of them, and we need to go on the others just to see them, what God wants to tell us this evening through this. The first statement, it says here, when they came to the skull, like Golgotha in Hebrew, they crucified Lord Jesus Christ.
I reckon everyone knows how the people were crucified.
Yes?
Against your will, they take your hands, maybe there are 4, 6, or 5 Romans, very well-built, you know, to be able to stretch you out, take your feet and lay down on the cross, on that wood, and take your hands and stretch it out on that cross. I was thinking when I was reading this, and I'm thinking many times about this. Just think about Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe for the others, we might say it was much easier because they weren't wounded. They just had their penalty and they had to pay being crucified and being hung on that cross. But Lord Jesus Christ, because of the process that he went through, he was scourged. He was beaten. And I was looking up, and when I went in Israel in 2016, I went on Via Dolorosa from the place that Lord Jesus Christ was judged by Pilate till to the Golgotha. It is nearly 1 mile away, walking that way. But before that, he was, as I said, he was beaten, he was scourged, and the Romans' way to scourge people, they had a whip with the five extents, and every extent it was with a little hook. When they hit your back, they pull down, and they tend to go deep in your body, and when they pull up, they broke your skin and make lots of lines, lots of scratching on your back. Now just imagine that his blood was pouring out every single time when they beat him. And normally they will scourge a person with 39 times with just for one penalty. Imagine how was Lord Jesus Christ's back, full of blood and full of wounds. When you are scratching your hand or foot or leg or whatever, after a very short time, your body has the properties to start to run the healing on your wound. It was the same with Lord Jesus Christ, being a human being, it was the same. So while he took the cross from the place he was judged and he was scourged till to Golgotha, he was taking his cross, walking that 1 mile. It wasn't easy because the cross was heavy. It was so heavy that he fell 3 times on that way. And the Romans had to take the cross to give to someone else. So heavy it was. But why I'm saying all this? Think that all that scratches, all that wounds, they start to dry up. And now drying up, when they took his hands, stretching out, just close your eyes and imagine, stretching out the hands, how painful it was. All his back, it was in a very, very much pain. Well, I'll tell you something else. You might saw in a movie, but I read in a history that every single criminal who was crucified on the cross, while the soldiers tried to put him and count him and make him to be crucified, the one who was crucified, they used to spit the soldiers, they used to swear, they used to put all the blame on the soldiers in such a way, because they thought they are crucifying me, they take my life, it is ended. They didn't like at all. But Lord Jesus Christ, when he was stretched out with his hands on that cross, he was praying for them. He was praying for them. That was the first word, the first sentence that Lord Jesus Christ was before he was crucified. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them,
for they know not what they do.
Forgive them.
I was looking in, and you know very well the scripture, and I'm not going to read now. In the scripture, it says in Matthew chapter 6, Lord Jesus Christ taught people and disciples, pray, love your enemy. Pray for those who persecute you. Lord Jesus Christ was the one that he fulfilled what he taught. Lord Jesus Christ was the one that he prayed for the one who persecuted him. They were killing him. Lord Jesus Christ was praying for them. But in the same time, he was praying for you and for me, my dear friend. He was praying for you and for me. So long time, we went astray from God. We are his enemy. By the way that we are living against God's will, we are his enemy. He doesn't hate you. He loves you. And Lord Jesus Christ is praying for you even today. God, forgive him or her because he or her doesn't know what he is doing. He is praying for you. That's the first sentence. The second sentence, it is, I was going to say, the first, second, and third sentence shows how Lord Jesus Christ was healing people even though he needed healing. He was very wounded. He was in a big distress. He was in such a big, big pain. And he needed someone to comfort him. But he was the one that comforted them. And these two malefactors, two thieves, they start to speak one against other. And when one came against Lord Jesus Christ, the other one, I don't know. I just like to imagine. Maybe when he was crucified, swearing against the soldier, trying to blaspheme them, he didn't hear anything from Lord Jesus Christ but praying. And he thought, this is a different kind of person. This is not like us. He's not a thief. He's not a malefactor. He's somebody else. And touch his heart, touch his mind, touch his soul. Just showing the way Lord Jesus Christ was behaving. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. He was touching his heart. He was touching his heart. And recognizing Lord Jesus Christ that he is God, he is the Lord. Because he said here, remember me. He didn't say teacher. He didn't say rabbi. He didn't say who you are. He said Lord. My dear friend, for somebody in those days to make someone Lord, it was recognizing that he is the Lord. Even these days, you don't say Lord to anyone, just to the one who he deserves to call him Lord. This thief recognized the Lord Jesus Christ that he is the Lord. My question towards you today, it is, do you recognize Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord? Is Lord Jesus Christ your Lord tonight? If not, he is willing, waiting, and also able to save you. Make him your Lord. And he said, Lord, remember me, Lord, when thou comest in thy kingdom. So he didn't make him only Lord, he made him a king. Because he said, remember me when you'll come back in your kingdom. And Lord Jesus Christ, even though he was in so much distress, so much pain, so much agony, dying on the cross, there is no time to go so much deep in this, how much it is, how hard it is, heavy breathing, seeing and realizing that you cannot breathe fully, and you are slowly, slowly dying. He was willing to save. And he told the thief, today, verily I tell you, I don't have enough time to go. Verily means 100% if you want. 100% I'm telling you, today you will be with me in paradise, where everyone wants to go. Don't you want to go in paradise? Ask him. Father, Lord Jesus Christ, please remember me when you will come in your kingdom. And he will promise you, today you will be with me in paradise. Just imagine, I stopped a little bit in my mind and I thought, after they died on that cross, they did everything what they wanted with their bodies. But think about Lord Jesus Christ and about the thief on the cross. They went hand to hand in paradise. How wonderful would be that? Lord Jesus Christ, a second ago, or a few minutes ago, we were dying. Hanging on that cross. Awful death. And now, let's go on the streets of gold. Before the Father. The first fruit of his sacrifice. It was a thief. I might say, 100% you are not a thief. But we are sinners. So, because Lord Jesus Christ was able to save a thief in that awful stage, he is much more able now to save you if you ask him. Just ask him, Lord Jesus, save me. Come to Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Easter is. Because he died, but he rose again. The third statement, it is in John chapter 19. I'm going quickly because the time, it is a bit against me. Lord Jesus Christ was fulfilling another scripture when he went to Zacchaeus, he said, the Son of Man came to save the world. And all the prophecies. So, saving that thief, he fulfilled another commandment, another reason that he came on this earth. In John chapter 19, verse 27, his mother was just not far away from the cross, from his cross, and John, it was close to him, to her, and he said here in verse 27, and John chapter 19, you don't need to open there. Sorry, it says, woman, behold thy son. Then says into the disciple, behold thy mother. You know, in Matthew, I'm going to open this one because it is very important. And here shows how Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled his commandment. In Matthew 19 verse, I think it is verse 19. Yes, 19. Very easy to remember. Matthew 19. It is on the page 1117. Lord Jesus Christ, while he was on this earth, he told many people and said, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Honor thy father and thy mother. Telling to John, son, look thy mother. Mother, look thy son. He was looking after his mother. He was caring. Just imagine. I am going to die. My life, it is in the end. Everything, it will be destroyed. From now away, I don't have anything in my future. Everyone will have their thoughts dying on the cross. But no, he wasn't selfish. He wasn't thinking of himself. He was thinking of his mother. Honor thy mother and honor thy father. That was another commandment Lord Jesus Christ gave them. So, that's another one. And the other one, it is in Matthew chapter... No, let's go to Mark chapter 15. It's much quicker to find in my Bible. Mark chapter 15. Yes, 15. Verse 34. On my page is 1217, 1217 page. And it says, Jesus cried with a loud voice saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why thou hast forsaken me. This shows the relation between Father and Lord Jesus Christ. From eternity till now, this very moment when he was dying, the Father had to turn his face from Lord Jesus Christ because of your sins and of my sins. It was a big gap between the Father and the Son. Just imagine. You cannot imagine. I cannot imagine having my Son hanging on the cross, running away from Him, turning my face from Him. Lord Jesus Christ, He was as a human being, lonely on the cross, bearing your sins and bearing my sins, just for you and for me. Can you imagine that? Even the Father had to turn His face away from Him. My dear friend, there are many other things which I would like to speak. The time it is so much against me. In John, we go back in John 19. The fifth one, it shows here, it says, after this, verse 28, 19:28, John, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now finished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, says, I thirst. I thirst. He is the living water, my dear friend. He is the living water. And in John 7, verse 37, it says, whosoever thirst, come and drink from me. And I will give you living water, and from your belly will spring living water. He was speaking about the Holy Spirit, but He is the living water. When He spoke at the well with the Samaritan woman in John 4, He says, I can give you the water that you will never ever thirst. And now, He had to become thirsty, that you will never thirst. He had to go through that agony that you might not go there. There are so many things. There are so many things that we can speak about Lord Jesus Christ fulfilling the scripture here. The sixth one, it is Jesus in verse 30, same page, same chapter, John 19, verse 30. Jesus had received the vinegar. He said, it is finished. It is finished. And I just wrote here, tetelestai, that's in Greek language, it is finished. It doesn't mean that now there is nothing to do. We cannot add anything. We cannot do anything from now on. Yes, God, Lord Jesus' work, it was finished. It means it is complete. Lord Jesus Christ's work, it was completed at that time when He said, it is finished, tetelestai. I like when Lord Jesus Christ said that. There is nothing to do after that. Your salvation, it is completed. You just need to receive it. Are you willing to receive? Will you receive Lord Jesus Christ tonight? Will you come? I like the chorus of this hymn. Come and welcome. Welcome whosoever will. Tis the Savior gracious call. He is able, willing, waiting now to save. Simply trust Him. That is all. You don't need to do anything. Just come and trust Him. He is going to heal you. He is going to forgive you. He is going to meet you in paradise. He is waiting for you there. He said one of the time while He was here on this earth, He said, because I live, you shall live also. We know He is alive forevermore. That's why you should come. Because you are welcome. The last sentence from the cross, and I will finish with this, it is back in Luke chapter 23. And that shows and prove another scripture that He preached while He was on this earth. It is so deep meaning here. It is in verse 46. And it says, and Jesus, so Luke 23, who wants to open there, Luke chapter 23, verse 46, on the page 1263. And Jesus, having cried out loud, with a loud voice, said, Father, In thy hand I commit my spirit.
What does he tell me this? What does he tell you this? Father, in thy hand I commit my spirit. Do you remember when he was preaching on this earth, he said, I have the power to lay my life down and I have the power to take it back. He proved that. It wasn't God that forced him to die. Many people blame God. Why did you kill your son? Why you put your son to die? No. He was willing. Willingly he went on that pathway just because he loved you. We have a song that it is love that kept him on the cross. It is his love towards you and towards me. And he proved here because the last word before he died, he said, and Jesus, having cried with a loud voice, said, why did he cry with a loud voice? That everyone will hear. What he said, it is proving, I am laying my life, my spirit in my hands, in the hands of my Father. Does it show you another thing here? Does it prove you that he is the Son of God? Because he said, Father, he doesn't call God God. He didn't say, Yahweh, thank you. Oh, I forgot that. Yahweh. He doesn't call God Yahweh. He said, Father. That relation between Lord Jesus Christ and God, it was between the Son and the Father. He proved again that He is the Son of God. He proved again that He was the Son of God. And He laid His life as a sacrifice for you and for me. My dear friend, may God help us. There are so many things to speak about this. There are so many things to go much deep in this. But He prayed for the one who crucified. He is praying for you. He promised to the thief that he is going with him next day in paradise. He is promising you. He looked after his mother. He is looking after you. He thirsts that you might never thirst. He was forsaken that you might not be forsaken all the any time in your life. And he laid his life, his spirit, in the hand of the Father. May God help us to understand all these scriptures. And may God help us to come to Lord Jesus Christ today and not tomorrow. Just imagine how wonderful life you will have if you gave your life to Lord Jesus Christ. Taking all the sin burden from your back, putting in that grave where Lord Jesus Christ lay once. And now he rose again and he is living forever and ever just to give you eternal life. May God be praised for his name's sake. Amen.
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 Let's sing all together hymn number